and welcome to the Brookwood Life of the Mind podcast. I'm Sherry Walsh, assistant head of school, and I'm here today with Rich McPherson, who's headmaster of Brookwood and president of the two schools. Rich has been working on a little project this summer. He began the summer talking about how he was going to read a bunch of Cardinal Henry Newman. And I think he did that.
I did.
But then he began building something that I think he's been thinking about for a long time, and about which there might be two or three people left who need to hear about it. He's been talking about it with everybody that he meets. He's developing what he's calling a Camino of Maryland. Hi, Rich.
Hello, Sherry.
So what gave you the idea of starting the project?
Well, you know, I read Hilaire Belloc's Path to Rome in the 80s, and I loved it. I always wanted to do his pilgrimage to Rome. And then I started thinking about doing one to Massachusetts from Maryland, actually, which is about 450 miles.
That sounds like a bike ride.
Yeah, I wanted to Camino it,
yeah.
Walk it. But anyway, we do pilgrimages here at Avalon and Brookwood. And last year was our 16th pilgrimage, where we walk anywhere from 14 miles to 23.5 miles. And in 2017, my wife and I, my sister-in-law, her husband, and niece, we did part of the Camino in Spain. And
yeah.
I said, well, we need one of these here in the United States. But COVID came and things, and anyway, nothing happened.
So you just thought about it as an idea and not really like conceptualizing how it would go, just sort of like, we should have this.
We should have a Camino somewhere.
Yeah.
And my brother Joe always loved the history of Maryland. It's the first Catholic, the only Catholic colony, actually. And he used to do tours down in southern Maryland, a lot of the old churches. And he even talked about doing some kind of pilgrimage down there. But anyway, this past pilgrimage, we started at St. Joseph on Carrollton Manor in Buckystown.
Yeah, and so for anybody who doesn't know, this is a day-long pilgrimage that we do, that the schools do.
Yeah.
These are community events where people come together to walk together. The schools, you know, provide snacks along the way. There's van rides if you need them. So there's lots of support. And the idea is to walk with friends and prayerfully. The rosary is said along the way. In order to arrive at, you know, some destination of note, right?
Well, this year was Our Lady of Fatima, St. Mary's in Barnesville, and it was actually on the Feast of Fatima, so that was cool. But we started at St. Joseph on Carrollton Manor, which was land owned by Charles and Daniel Carroll at one time. Charles Carroll's the only Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence. And I had never been there. I guess I'd been by it many times, but I had never been into the church there. And I think that might have been the thing. I bet you a lot of people haven't been here, don't know about the historic churches.
Yeah.
And so I told my wife that I wanted to do a Camino. And I want to call it the Camino because I would like it to be like the Camino in Spain. Other people want me to call it Mary's Walk and things like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when it came to me, I said, we'll start at St. Clement's Island, where the first Mass was said on March 25th, 1634. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
And so what I'm hearing is a lot of your brother's love for Maryland history, coupled with your own interest in pilgrimages and sort of the idea that, and also I think an educative kind of idea that people should know about this, right?
Yeah.
And then of course the benefits of a pilgrimage. But this is not a one-day pilgrimage you have.
No, this is what makes it different than the other one. You know, I did try a 3-day, 2-night pilgrimage from Brookwood up to Mother Seton Shrine I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran into problems with churches wouldn't let us stay overnight
Is this the one we tried to plan for the class of 2019?
Yeah, we tried and it. A couple of priests said no. One priest did say yes, but then I needed another stop, and I didn't have. Anyway, it kind of died. So I've always wanted to go to to Emmitsburg, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. She's the patron of Maryland. She's the patron of parochial schools, and she was born in the United States and lived in Maryland. We don't know much about her.
Yeah, and that shrine is so interesting.
Yeah,
I know that we send, you know, kids take field trips there.
Yeah, one of our teachers is the main cantor there. And anyway, I said, let's do it. So I got a list of all the archdiocesan churches and all of them. And I tried to circle the ones before 1900, that were established before 1900.
This is throughout Maryland or throughout Southern Maryland?
Southern Maryland, yeah. and because Frederick is Baltimore County, so I did the same thing for Baltimore County. And well, D.C. is Archdiocese of Washington. Anyways, so I bought a map. You actually can buy maps, real paper maps
I've
now.
I've heard
you
that, know? Yeah.
Actually, my wife and I were in a restaurant in Southern Maryland. The woman said, "What is that you have in your hand?" We're all so used to Google Maps. And anyway, so I circled the maps, all the churches, and I said, "Okay, I don't know Southern Maryland that well. Let's work backwards. We know we'll stop at St. John the Evangelist in Clinton because Father Dan Larry's there, and Father Dan Larry will let us do anything that spreads the faith." And that's where we started, and then we worked our way down and decided, no, we're going all the way to Point Lookout. How cool would it be to start at Point Lookout instead of St. Clement's Island? Because there are a lot of churches, old churches, between Point Lookout and St. Clement's Island. And it also reminds me of the Camino in Spain. The main one is starts in France and goes almost to the end of Spain, you know. And so this is like starts at Point Lookout, the southernmost point of the western side of the Chesapeake, and all the way up to Emmitsburg, which is just short of Pennsylvania. So it kind of, it's the same thing. Plus, it ends at a saint's tomb, just like the Camino ends with St. James. Anyway, I was kind of quiet about it. I told people I wanted to do it. And then when we actually kind of mapped it out and saw that it worked, I got really excited about it. Started calling a lot of people and asking people.
Yeah, and this is another McPherson thing, I think, that you know a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a trait.
Yeah.
You know a lot of people, and you've built that, like, over the years, like, community, right? That's something that we stand for here, right?
So
you've built that over the years. But then there are these other people you're now reaching out to.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, we're doing this thing. There are a bunch of us. You should join us. You should help us. You could, you know. And so there's this kind of momentum that arises.
It is.
So I made a joke about your reading this summer. But I think that you have to ride that momentum. Like,
this is
the time for you to do this.
Yeah, it is. And,
I think it also got in your head.
And I, in the biography of Mother Seton, I'm almost done with. And I've read a lot more about different Caminos and things like that. So one of the first people I talked to was a former student of mine, Father Andrew Royals. He's at St. Joseph in Morganza. And I went out to lunch, and he gave me a number of names to talk to. And every name he's given me has been very fruitful. And those guys have given me names. And so it's been fun. I've learned a lot about Maryland. I've made 6 trips to Southern Maryland this summer. It's twice, 2 day trips, and twice my wife and I stayed at a hotel. So I get to know the place pretty well.
Yeah,
I've changed my course a number of times after talking to priests. I didn't have St. Mary of Piscataway on my original Camino because it was off the path a little bit. And it still is a little bit. But supposedly on July 5th, 1640, Andrew White baptized 150 Piscataway Indians into the church at that site. And that's huge for early Maryland history. So we have to do that. So I have a little bit of a zigzag at that point. And my pilgrimage started from 10 days. Now it's 14 days.
What's the total mileage at this point?
236.
Okay.
So it's about 17 miles a day, which isn't too bad. Camino, they do about 15.
Uh-huh.
I saw something on the Appalachian Trail where they'll do up to 25 a day.
Wow.
Susan B. Komen for the Cure does 25 a day for 3 days. So we can do it. So the first day starts a little bit later to get people down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's at Point Lookout, and right at Point Lookout. I have this idea, you'll dip your hand in the Potomac, then walk over here and dip your hand in the Chesapeake before you start. It's been a long tradition of the Camino. People do that.
Initiated 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. But also Larry Swink, another former student of mine, he's the pastor at St. Cecilia's and St. Peter Claver.
Uh-huh.
And now St. Peter Claver, I mean, I just had the date was after 1918, but it's the first black church. A church for black people in Maryland, so have to stop there. Plus, he said we could stay there. So people can go the night before, stay at St. Peter's, and then they have a short shuttle down to Point Lookout if they want to do that. Or since I'm starting it later, they can actually leave at a decent time in the morning and get there. So the first leg is short.
So the first day is a shorter day.
Well, it's still pretty. It's still about 15 miles, but you know we picked June, longest days of the year. So yes. you keep walking. I actually wanted for high school kids and college kids to kind of a rite of passage would be kind of cool. Yeah. You want to do the Camino. They do that in Italy. I know they do from Krakow to Our Lady of Częstochowa, 6-7 day thing. And they have vans along the way that carry their tents for them. And we'll do things like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, it starts at Point Lookout in southern Maryland. First night, I hopefully will stay at St. Cecilia's. And it's kind of cool because the first day they left, when they left to found Maryland, was on the Feast of St. Cecilia, November 22nd, 1633. That's kind of cool. Plus, it's one of our feast days we celebrate here at Avalon and Brooklyn. Yeah,
probably in part because of that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And then we're going to go to St. John Francis Regis, which is a vibrant church. My wife and I went down. This guy John Olin, who's head of the religion department at St. Mary's Riken, took us. He's excited. I remember talking to him the first time. I said, I know it's crazy, John. He goes, yeah, it's crazy, but I love it. So, and we went into their church like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There were 60 high school students doing adoration.
Wow.
So I said, well, we'll stop at this church. This is fervent. And then just different churches along the way. I haven't confirmed all of them. That's the biggest hang up.
So, just waiting to hear from everybody who would host, who would open the doors, right, and host. And so the accommodations overnight along the way, a combination of camping and church basements.
Yeah. You know, I want it to be like the Camino where you're responsible to get your own. Mm-hmm. Own my wife wants to be the motel Camino lady.
Okay, that's great.
I want to do that.
Oh, you mean like she wants to stay in motels?
Yes.
I thought she wanted to be like the coordinator.
No, she just wants to stay in motels. So she doesn't want to coordinate anything. The only thing when I'm driving with her, she goes, "Is there another way? This is an awfully big hill. We'll have to walk." She's pretty good at that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Janice. But I think too, like thinking about. I love the way that when you plan a pilgrimage, you're always very careful to walk it and make sure that like, oh, we can't see around this corner. We'll have to be careful here. There's a sidewalk there. There's not. You know, like all that sort of stuff to help sort of think about like what the experience on the ground is going to be. And so we're going along and then you'll find, and so you think that it's up to the pilgrim to figure out the accommodation.
Well, we'll try and have a church or a place for them to stay. But if they want to stay in a motel or something like that, they can. There's another thing, like Andrew Royal's Father Royal said we could stay at his church, and it's not on our route because it's way, I'm trying to stay in the southern part of Southern. He goes, but you can stay there. And it's really like if Sacred Heart and Bushwood's a place we want to stay, but we don't have permission yet. Mm-hmm. I was actually not given permission by him, so, but I think he just didn't quite understand what we wanted. I'll get someone else to talk to him.
But we can
shuttle people to Father Drew's, Andrew Royal's, he called Drew also, his place, and then we can shuttle him back the next morning.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's actually the location that we, three of the stops, we could end up at his place, but I don't think we will.
Depends on your numbers, too,
We might not even have that many.
Like how many people are interested in doing it at first, too. Yeah. It's something that might... With there being set dates, right? It might be that that there's a medium sized group this time, but people get excited about it, and that like next year it grows. Or it could also be that like once it's established, then people go on their own at different times. Like that's something we can do.
That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to get each church to have like a pilgrim's corner.
Yeah,
where that's people could stay. In fact, St. Mary's Newport, Father Matt Fish. He loves this idea. He's done the Camino in Spain. He's done a lot of pilgrimages. He's a hiker. It's actually officially the St. John Vianney Shrine in Maryland. It's the only one in Maryland for the patron of parish priest. But he's trying to build a campsite so people can go to his church and stay overnight and make it sort of like a pilgrimage spot.
Yeah.
So when I told him I wanted to do it, and he goes, oh, we got plenty of land. The parish hall has bathrooms. You'll be fine. And what are you doing for food? And I said, well, you're not near any real restaurants. Maybe we'll have a couple food trucks. We have a priest who owns a food truck company.
Oh, nice.
And he goes, you know, actually, though, when we have events, we have a guy in the parish who supplies pizza. Mm-hmm. And it won't cost you anything. We'll do pizza.
Nice. So that's great. So things like that. There's some hospitality.
And then he also said, well, maybe a lot of our parishioners could walk the next leg with you.
Oh, that's
which is
awesome.
What I'd like to do. Yeah. I'd like to get every church either greeting us and praying with us for a little while. Like the last stop, usually in an Avalon Brookwood pilgrimage, we start with Mass. We do 4 rosaries along the way, and we end with Mass. Here we're starting with Mass, and I'd like to do a rosary. So we're with, you know, the parishioners.
Yeah.
And do at least 2 rosaries on the way, and then 1 at the end, so we could do that with parishioners again. So, mm-hmm. And if some want to walk with us, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Or so they just want us to provide water. Yeah. Father Dan Leary, St. John the Evangelist in Clinton, he said, we'll cook for you. You'll get a meal. Some delicious hamburgers and hot dogs.
That's nice.
He'll be in the Philippines that day, but... Mm-hmm. He says they'll have at least 3 people in charge. He said to make sure we have adoration in the church. I don't know. Whatever we need, he said.
Yeah. No, that's outstanding.
Yeah.
So it sounds like as you talk to people, I mean, some people don't understand and whatever, but lots of people are excited about it, mm-hmm. and understand it and want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, so want to help us, you know, physically, but then also like the adoration will be available, or mm-hmm. you can use the church.
Confessions, hopefully confessions.
Yeah.
If people could do... Like, it's 14 days. The last day, I was originally going to do Saturday evening vigil. I have St. Elizabeth reserved for the 22nd of June of next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'll do it June 23rd. They have a 1:30 Mass, because the last leg is only 8.1 miles, and I walked it a couple weeks ago.
And you should say what the total dates are.
Yeah, June 10th to the 23rd. June 10th to June 23rd of 2024. So we still got a ways to go.
Yes. And, I can start training.
Yeah, I would say you'd have to start training at least 3 months before to do it well.
Yeah, I've heard that about the Camino.
That's the
way that it's thought about.
But you don't have to do all 14 days. I have what's called the Southern Camino. You can start at Point Lookout and end at Clinton, mm-hmm. just south of D.C., or you can do the Northern Camino, which starts at Avalon, St. Mm-hmm. Catherine Labouré, and go to Emmitsburg. Well, you can go 2 days across D.C., which is from Clinton to Catholic U, the Basilica, to Avalon. Or you can do 1 leg, just join us for 1 day.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just come morning Mass, join us and say bye, good luck, we'll pray for you.
Yeah.
The biggest one, I would like people to join us the last day. It's only 8.1 miles. I did it in 2.5 hours walking, not a fast pace. And it was beautiful. And then have Mass together at Elizabeth Seton Shrine, the first American canonized saint.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. We don't pray to her enough.
We know
more. We have to know more about her.
That's true. That's great. And so thinking, too, about how people can individualize for their own schedules or their own levels of comfort or fitness or whatever. And then for you know, the students at the schools, for a lot of them, I mean, a physical challenge like this is something they would embrace.
Yes, I hope
so. So it seems like this is an opportunity for them, too. Like somebody might want the challenge of the 14 days. What do you hope that a pilgrim gets out of the pilgrimage?
I hope it really changes them, actually. I know after the Camino, when I did it, I only did I call the English way, which was farol, F-E-R-R-O-L, I think. That's where the English would take their boats. It's also the home of Francisco Franco. But that you walk to St. James and you can get the stamp there, mm-hmm. because it's this distance. There's one shorter at Coruna or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but I was so moved on the pilgrimage in Camino. I loved it. I prayed a lot. I prayed a lot of rosaries, prayed for a lot of people. The funny thing is I tell people I had this frozen shoulder at the time. I had it since November. I didn't pray for that. In fact, I had to put my backpack on the right arm first, or else I couldn't get it on there.
Yeah, but I remember that you were all frozen.
And then the last day, we actually, after the Camino, we went to Fatima, and then my wife said, where are we eating dinner? And I pointed my arm back, and it it was gone. It wasn't frozen anymore.
Nice.
So they say in the Camino, you get something you didn't pray for. I think that was what I got. I don't know why I didn't pray for it. It was killing me. But
well, so, you're focused on other people, right? Yeah. And also, I mean, I imagine that as you plan the Camino, you think like, how am I going to use this? Like, yeah, how yeah. am I going to, what am I going
to? I would like sort of devotion to Mother Seton to increase. I mean, mm-hmm. and people to pray for Catholic schools and Maryland. I think Maryland needs prayers. Also, one of the lines we use is rediscovering our Catholic roots in Maryland. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. people don't know these. I mean, I didn't know some of the churches down there, and I like stuff like that and mm-hmm. study stuff like that and some of the history of it. It's been fun going into the different churches and seeing how beautiful they are, small. Mm-hmm.
So, what was it about the Camino that you feel changed you? It was preparation for it, and then in your mind and in your heart, thinking about like what you know, what your intentions are going to be, how it's going to be, and then you go and do it. Were there things that you saw along the way that changed things, or just the experience of doing it? Well, one of the things in the Camino,
I was disappointed with a lot of the churches were closed. Mm. So this way, our Camino, I'll try to make sure all the priests have their church open yeah. that people can pop in, pray, and hopefully in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But going to St. James, the cathedral there, mm-hmm. and just thousands of people packed into this mass, beautiful mass. I mean, the faith of the Catholic Church, like, mm-hmm. this is true faith. This doesn't happen anywhere else mm-hmm. where it's like that. It was beautiful.
So sort of the public quality
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Spain for Holy Week years and years ago, and the processions I found very moving, yeah. I think because they were so public.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something, and you're sort of exhausted from your walk, and you've prayed, and then you arrive, right? Yeah. And so it there's this sense of arrival, and that it's a kind of public thing with. Yeah.
And then you want to do a longer one next year, but I did it. I mean, I'd love to do the whole Camino.
Yeah.
When I was calling Andrew Royals to get information from him or what he thought, his secretary answered, Andrew was busy. She said, can I take a message? I said, I have kind of a crazy idea. And she goes, that doesn't sound that crazy. And I said, and I told a little bit, she goes, you'll save $1,500 not flying to Spain. You know, you can get a Camino here without flying to Spain. You save money.
Yeah. It's true. And it's, I mean, so making it accessible to more people.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's true that if people have qualms about some of the logistics of doing a Camino in Spain, they can be addressed. Or if they can't be addressed, I think there's less of a feeling of risk,
yeah.
right? If I need to bail on this day, or if I need to stay here, or if I need to do this some yeah. other way, I can. And so it enables more people to try, and then they find out that it's fine,
yeah.
you know, and that they can do more than they think.
Like my wife has the three churches that she'll just go home at night and come back. I mean, you know, you can do that. If you live in Montgomery County and you right. do the Camino, you can actually don't have to camp out. I do think part of the fun will be camping out. A mm-hmm. lot of these churches have bonfire pits. I plan to bring my son Gil to play the guitar some nights and sing around the campfire. Excellent. You know, what do you do about showers and stuff? Well, some places have showers, but, you know, we'll get a hose and a sprinkler. And, you know, St. Clement's Island, you can jump in the water. Different things like that. We'll find ways.
Yeah, and it's 14 days. It's not like yeah. it's months and months. Yeah. Like it's, I mean, so... Yeah, I think people are necessarily a little grimy.
The other thing is, you know the language too. You yeah. know, so part of it though, when I was thinking about it, I said, well, I want to go by the Basilica. D.C. used to be part of Maryland, so I could. Someone said I should go to St. Mary's in Alexandria. I said, no, that wasn't part of Maryland. But people who, like in Southern Maryland, one of the guys told me that not many people have been to D.C. to some of the churches, so they haven't seen the Basilica of the Immaculate
yeah.
Conception.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure we stop there. And then Emmitsburg. A lot of people haven't seen mm-hmm. the Basilica in Emmitsburg.
And I think both of those places, even if people have been there before, even like with the Basilica, I think a lot of us go there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's through sort of pilgrim's eyes, like it mm-hmm. sort of changes in that way.
That's true.
And thinking about it as part of this journey. It changes the experience.
Yeah, I don't know where it will go. I mean, some people say, well, how many people do you think you get? I said, well, even if I'm the only one who does it, I had fun planning it, and yeah. I'll do it. And
well, then it will exist.
Then it will exist, yeah. I'd like to be the first one to complete the whole thing.
You know? Yeah.
I haven't walked the routes down in Southern Maryland. I've driven them many times. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple routes that seem... Now, I have to get permission from the different counties. I do that for our pilgrimage. But right. I have to get St. Mary's, Charles County, Prince George's County, D.C., Montgomery, and Frederick. So I have to go through 6 police stations.
Ah, uh-huh.
I don't know why. I mean, you're allowed to walk on the streets, but I'll follow it. Maybe police will join us, too. Sometimes they do that. Especially D.C. does that.
Yeah, that's especially nice.
Yeah.
To sort of...
So safety is always one of the things. It's not like in Camino in Spain, there are a lot of paths through farmland and stuff. This is really along the side of the road, most of the places. Mm-hmm. In 100 years, it'll be paths.
Right.
Off the road, you know.
We keep walking.
We'll keep walking, yeah. And they'll say, this isn't safe, and they'll cut a little path for us. Mm-hmm. So, but it's been fun for me. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed talking about it. I've been reading about the different churches, and so, and just talking to these good priests, the real solid priests who want to do it mm-hmm. and want their parish to take part in it.
Yeah.
It's really kind of
well,
fun.
Well, I think your excitement is contagious.
Yeah.
I think that's part
kids,
of it.
My kids are ready to kill me.
Can we talk about something else? Is there something else that we can... And I know that you've commissioned a map
that
we can see...
I have my own hand-drawn map. And actually, when I show people that, they go, oh, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. 2 of the girls who just did part of the Camino that are coming to Brookwood this year brought me the shell from the Camino.
Oh, very nice.
And I put it along the map I have in my office.
Yeah.
So they want to walk it. It's kind of fun. It would be interesting to see.
And so how much did they walk of the Camino?
They only did like 5 days of it.
Yeah, okay.
But
they know enough to know what
a lot of people
into.
Do the Camino. They do it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
A lot of people do it for 2. Some do it for 1. One's probably the minimum you can do it for. There's another place where, you know, it's... 2 week a formal starting spot.
Uh-huh.
So, and then Catherine Rex, who teaches music here, did 5 days of the Portugal Way through Fatima.
Oh, wow.
She loved it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and didn't Margot Kalacki also
Margot
walk?
Did the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm just hearing about all these other Caminos. There's a Grand March in France, 600 miles over 70 days. Those guys are crazy. And then there was one in Notre Dame, 2017, their 175th anniversary. They started in Lower Indiana, Vincennes, where the Holy Cross Fathers came up through,
uh-huh.
and they walked all the way to South Bend. That was 300 miles in 13 days.
Wow!
But ended. It was a 1 day thing. I'd like to continue.
Right.
What kind of makes this exciting too? It's the Eucharistic Revival. Mm-hmm. Kind of mesh in with that.
Sure.
They'll actually be in D.C. June 7th, 8th, and 9th so people can get their start.
Okay.
And you think about the pilgrimage, not only the pilgrimage, when I'm out walking, like by myself testing all these routes, it's prayer for me too. It's not just I'm out walking, I'm praying, I'm thinking about things and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the training part can not only be physical, but it could be prayerful.
Right. That makes good sense. I mean, to think about it in all the dimensions and in all the ways. So because we need to train physically, we're reminded that we need to train spiritually and so on.
That was one thing that I really caught when I was walking from Thurmont to Emmitsburg by myself on a Saturday. I got a nice little burn on my neck. I didn't realize how hot it was that day, but it was so beautiful. I'm known for walking really fast. I like to walk fast, but this day I did it. About an 18-minute pace. I always mm-hmm. time just to...
Yeah, just to know.
No. When I do our Brookwood Avalon pilgrimages, I expect about 25 minutes a mile because they're, you know, over 100
waiting
people.
Waiting for people to make it across the street or whatever,
So, who knows? We got a lot longer to walk. We don't have to be anywhere at night at a certain time.
Yeah, that's true. So when you arrive, you arrive.
Yeah, you take
and
your
so
time,
if it's
stop
a little
for
bit
lunch.
More. Yeah, and so and my understanding, too, is that like on the first day of the pilgrimage, you're very excited and you can do it. And, you know, and then the second day you wake up and you're like, oh, my goodness, what am I into? You know, and you do it because you're going to do it. And then by the third day, it's just like it's what you do.
Yeah.
It's like, here I am. I'm it's time for me to go walk.
The fourth fourth day is St. Clement's Island. So I want to stay at Holy Angels, and it's called Avenue Maryland, Colton's Point. Walk 2.5 to the Colton's Point, and then that's where you pick up a boat to St. Clement's Island. Uh-huh. And that was the thing. I had this woman, she does this youth rally. She's doing one September 30th on St. Clement's Island. I'm hoping to bring Avalon and Brookwood students to it. I said, how did you get your boats? And she said, I know Captain so-and-so. I said, could I have his number and address? And she goes, no, I'll take care of the boats for you.
Oh, there you go.
So
it just gets better and better.
Better like that.
Like, yeah.
But again, the day after the Mass in St. Clement's is short walk, figuring I don't have to worry about people hurrying to get back and then get on their walk. So that's the fourth day, and that's kind of a good day to kind of, okay, break it up, and now we'll start walking again.
Yeah.
The longest walk is through Montgomery County.
Uh-huh.
Penitential. I said we should wear sackcloth and ashes going through Montgomery. Try to make it, get the Catholic part of Maryland back. But you go through by a lot of churches when you walk through Montgomery County.
Yeah.
You have St. John, Old St. John, St. John the Evangelist, St. Catherine, St. Jude, St. Mary's, St. Martin's, St. Rose of Lima, mm-hmm. and then St. Mary's in Barnesville. Anyway, it's exciting. Plus, you know, the St. Mary's in Rockville. See, I'm stream of consciousness now.
I'm not providing a lot of structure because I know that you can just go for hours on this.
F. Scott Fitzgerald's tomb. How cool will the people, you know, when they stop at St. Mary's to see that, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, and it's often that I teach The Great Gatsby. It's often that students will say, hey, I just found out.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And so it's always like a discovery. And so that, you know, so that's exciting.
Yeah. And St. Mary Newport is the St. John Vianney. So I hope the priest can talk about St. John Vianney to us a little bit. And then St. Mary's in Barnesville, the official Fatima Shrine of the Archdiocese of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
St. Peter Claver, oldest church for black people, a break off from St. Michael's. Cool. Anyway, it's...
Yeah, no, I think it sounds wonderful.
Oh.
Is there anything that people need to do to help at this point? Is there anything we can do to help? Let us know sort of how we can be involved as it progresses. Is there anything we can be doing other than practicing walking?
We're going to have a small website. I think it's coming out next week.
Oh, excellent.
I'm trying to do it August 28th.
Do you know the URL or not yet?
Maryland... Camino-Maryland.org.
All right.
No, MD, sorry. Camino-MD.org.
Okay.
And that's because I was explaining to Dave Houseseal what I was doing. He goes, I want to do one of those in Michigan. So he'll be Camino-MI. Or
there
whatever.
You go.
Is MI Michigan? What's Michigan?
Yes, I think so.
But anyway, and August 28th is Elizabeth Seton's birthday. So hopefully that'll be a birthday present for her that we're going to have this Camino in her honor.
No. What a great outpouring of community life and, you know, personal devotion and prayer. You know, I think that that's what a great thing to do.
No, I think it will be good. I think even if people join us for one of the walks or just part of one of the walks or meet us at the church and even at, like that walk in Notre Dame, there were only 24 who did the whole way.
Hmm.
But they had 4,500 people that participated.
Yeah.
Mostly at the end, they had a short 2-mile walk and a mass, and that's what I want, short 8.1-mile walk.
Yes.
And it's flat most of the way.
Excellent.
Even up in...
Janice approved.
She approved. We did change one route because of the hill, but...
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it, of course. I haven't, like, I think about it all the time. I barely got my work done for school this year, but don't tell anyone that one.
No, no one listens to this anyway, Rich. We're safe. No, it's all done. The classes have classrooms.
Yes.
As of today. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming to talk.
Right.
I really appreciate it.
I enjoy talking about it. I'll go talk to myself now for the next half hour.
It's true. I think anybody who'll stand still gets to hear about it. So, I think it's exciting, though, and I think it totally is worth taking up, you know, all of your extra brain space this summer as you've sort of worked it out. And I think, too, like, your experience doing the little pilgrimages for us has has given you the experience to do something like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's and what so my wife exciting. Said. You know, maybe you were just, this was preparing these 16 short. Now I'm just stringing 14 pilgrimages together.
Yeah.
I haven't planned the overnight before, so that's the one thing that's really different. But other than that, mm-hmm. we've done the food, we've done the bathrooms, we've done, you know, getting people around. We've had the help along the way. So we'll see. And hopefully it will revive some of these parishes. And like their once a day year, the song we sang on our gala, once a day year. Mm-hmm. This is their once a day to kind of host people and show their church off and their generosity. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Life of the Mind podcast from Brooklyn and Avalon Schools. I'm Sherry Walsh here in the Camino episode with Richard McPherson. Our producer went to college, so I'm going to try to do post-production on this one. Our theme music is by Fabian Tell. The views expressed are the participant's own. ¶¶